we know that this year is not like other years. So a lot of the patterns of preparation for Christmas and the celebration of Christmas have been altered. Nevertheless, I think we can all sense the growing joy at the approach of Christmas, or we should be able to sense it, because that's the whole Advent journey, joyful anticipation, growing anticipation, preparation. Today's the last day, so the joy of Christmas already is flowing into this day, and tonight, of course, we will celebrate the birth of the Word made flesh. The experience of the pandemic has given the world many reasons for sorrow. In fact, this whole year has been full of sorrows, as we know. Nevertheless, life is not all sorrow. In fact, joy, the joy that comes with faith, is much more powerful than any earthly sorrow. So it's important for us to give thanks to the Lord for whatever joys we experience, even earthly joys, which we still have. We still have birthdays, we still have food, we still have little celebrations, we still have loved ones. We can still gather for Mass. In some parts of the world, with the lockdowns, people are forbidden from public gatherings. So we have many things to give thanks to God for, even in this world. But the greatest joys come from acknowledging the gifts of God, the eternal gift. And that's why the joy of Christmas, the joy of the Word made flesh, cannot be smothered by earthly distress, even a pandemic. At Christmas time, our joy is expressed with music, with song, Christmas carols. It's a very musical time of year. Sadly, we can't have the same celebrations of Christmas carols or Christmas caroling as we have in other years. But the joy that is expressed in song is still in our hearts, and it's still expressed in the liturgy. 2 days ago, we had the Song of Mary, the Canticle of Mary, Magnificat. Today's Gospel is the song for the Canticle of Zechariah, another joyful proclamation of praise to God. Mary says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Zechariah says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free." We pray this Canticle of Zechariah every morning. If you pray morning prayer in the Liturgy of the Hours, you know this canticle by memory. But it's a beautiful declaration of the ways of God, the faithfulness of God. So it's very valuable for us to look at it again in this last Advent Mass. Remember, Zechariah was silent for 9 months, 9 months plus. He was silent. He was isolated. He was socially distant. He was quarantined. In that 9 months, what was he thinking about? Well, I'm sure his encounter with the angel was one of the most dominant memories. He met an angel. He met the Archangel Gabriel, and Gabriel told him his wife was going to bear a son. He's going to name him John. And the angel told him, you're going to be silent until these things that I have told you are fulfilled. Zechariah did not get his voice back when John was born. He only got his voice back 8 days later when he declared the name of his son will be John, or John is his name. We pondered that yesterday. That's when all the things Gabriel foretold came to their fulfillment, and Zechariah received his power of speech again. So this gospel is a continuation of yesterday. If you remember, in yesterday's gospel, it says that after Zechariah wrote on the tablet, John is his name, and all were amazed, immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. It didn't say in yesterday's gospel what he said. That's today's gospel, his canticle. Zechariah starts out with an outburst of praise to God. The interesting thing is, he doesn't at first refer to the birth of his son and the naming of his son. Filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing he says in praising God is a declaration of the coming of the Messiah. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. God has come to his people. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. That's not John. John is not a mighty Savior, and he's not born of the house of his servant David. John is from the priestly family, house of Aaron, or house of Levi, and he's not a Savior. So Zechariah here is not talking about the birth of his son. Born of the house of his servant David, Jesus is not born yet. It's only 3 months in the womb. So Zechariah is looking forward. He's prophesying what is to come. He's rejoicing already. It's an Advent hymn of praise. And that's why, one of the reasons why, the church uses this canticle for morning prayer. Because in the morning, we say, thank you, Lord, for this new day, and we look forward to the blessings to come. Zechariah continues through his prophets. He promised of old, he refers a number of times to the promise of God. He promised of old, he promised to show mercy, he promised to save us from our enemies. He promised that he would be faithful, that he would remember his holy covenant. He promised this to Abraham and his descendants, and he's faithful. God is faithful to his promises. After that declaration of God's fidelity and this praise of God for his goodness, then Zechariah turns to his little infant son, only 8 days old, and he says, you, my child, you, John, you, God is gracious. You shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. So after declaring that the Lord is coming, or he has come, then he declares John's mission. He affirms John's mission, because that's what Gabriel told Zechariah in the first place. He's going to prepare the way. How will John prepare the way? He will give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. This whole season of Advent has been about preparation. And again we have been reminded, the preparation is not about setting up Christmas lights and baking Christmas foods. I mean, that's it, that's preparation, but that's not the essential preparation. And the things that we have been forbidden to do because of the COVID restrictions have not prevented us from doing the essential preparation. This, how is he going to prepare the way? He's going to give us knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness of sins is the preparation. Knowing that we can be set free from sin and repenting of sin, that's the preparation. If we have not repented, we're not ready for Christmas. If we have not turned away from sin, we're not ready for Christmas, no matter how nice our decorations are. Then Zechariah says something very beautiful. in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. In the tender compassion of God. It's a great description of God. Zechariah, perhaps 9 months earlier, would not have, because he was a priest of the old law, he was very faithful to the required sacrifices and following the commandments. I don't know if he would have said God is tender and compassionate. Maybe he would have, because throughout the Old Testament, God reveals himself as merciful. But Zechariah knows in a new way the tender compassion of God. He knows a new light is dawning on the people of God, and it's going to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. We live in a world of darkness. We live under the shadow of death. We can't free ourselves. We long for light. We long for life. And these gifts are given to us in Jesus Christ. So this is the dawn that is breaking on us as we come to the end of Advent and the beginning of Christmas. The dawn, the light of God, guides our feet into the way of peace. Peace on earth, peace to those people of goodwill, peace, reconciliation with God, peace among men. This is the gift that breaks upon us from heaven. And the angels who appear to the shepherds tonight will say that they'll proclaim peace on earth. Not because we came up with peace, but because God has bestowed peace on us. So it's a very beautiful canticle, this canticle of Zechariah. We can understand why we pray this every single day. We can appreciate this outburst of praise and thanksgiving and proclamation of the gift that God gives us in sending us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. It's a fulfillment of the prophecy in today's first reading. The psalm today, Psalm 89, a very joyful song of praise. We repeated again and again, "Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord." Doesn't mean that we will always sing Christmas carols. We sing them now. But we will always, forever we will sing the goodness of the Lord. Now in the time of pandemic and forever in heaven, we sing the goodness of the Lord. Why forever? Because we cannot exhaust God's goodness. We can never finish proclaiming his goodness. So what we do today, we will always do. Proclaim the goodness of the Lord.